Zelda Rubinstein. She's the go into the light, Carolyn, from Poltergeist.
Yeah, that's her.
Do y'all mind hanging back? You're jamming my frequencies.
Choose a small, medium, and large.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth.
Yeah, I'm starting to get the lighting set up in here and everything. So,
and Jeff is just back from setting fire to a bunch of Teslas. That's what he does all week.
My boss is scared to drive his Tesla. He bought one years ago, the Model S, like the first one that came out.
You shouldn't have to fear driving a vehicle because people don't like the guy who owns the company that creates the vehicle. If you're driving a Volkswagen, remember where that came from.
Volkswagen Beetle was used by the Nazis.
And if you are wearing Hugo Boss, remember where that came from. Hugo Boss designed the SS uniforms and pretty much had Germany make the Volkswagen. So you'll probably have to bleep that name so we don't get, you know, kicked out of the algorithm. I don't get it. But what I do get is that Snow White and the Seven Cartoon Gnomes is getting, in spite of all the negative press, is getting some good reviews. Now, the initial good reviews are coming from the access media. So, you know, those are the people that they get to go and meet the celebrities and see the movie and stuff. So they're not going to ruin their Disney card by giving it a bad review. The most reviews I've seen that are fair or less than fair are saying that she's good. Rachel Zegler is good in it, and her voice is really good, and she's a good singer. That Gal Gadot is terrible, and that the story stinks, and the CGI garden gnomes look awful.
Garden gnomes.
They look like garden gnomes. What do they look like? They look like garden gnomes. The thing that amazes me that I really lost track of, we talked about it a little bit last week, I think, but the thing that really we lost track of in this whole debacle that Disney's making this movie has nothing to do with her being of her nationality. Who cares? It's a stupid character, and if she can do the part, who cares? Or what she said about what the thing she cares about, or what Gal Gadot said. But the thing that bothered me about this whole production is they weren't going to use dwarves. They remember that shot they had of all those weird looking baristas that were originally to play the dwarves, just like there was a mishmash, a polyglot, or whatever. They had to go and hire. They were going to hire little people actors, and then for some reason, Peter Dinklage is on, what is he on, Mark Maron. He's complaining about why would they do this outdated story and have little people in this movie. Well, the name of the story is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And from what I can gather, there isn't really an awful lot of work in Hollywood for little people. Is there? Am I wrong? Tell me if I'm wrong. So he kind of put the kibosh on that, and he's why we have these ugly cartoon characters, when they could have just had little people playing them. And probably a lot of happy little people who would have been making a lot of money. Instead, they spent, you know, millions of dollars on CGI. So maybe I could be wrong.
Well, as far as them using CGI as opposed to the actors, now they did pay actors little people, and little people did act in the film.
Yes,
they were they're underneath the CGI. That's the issue that a lot of people are, or at least a lot of little people,
it paint over all of them.
Yes,
whatever.
It's all just motion capture.
Yeah.
Oh, so they did motion capture. They didn't shoot the movie with little people and then go back in and digitally cover them up.
Andy Serkis played all the doors.
Everyone. Yeah. No. He's not. What he was trying to put forward was, don't restrict the roles that you're creating, you know, for big or little people. Just let the people, the actors, you know, like him. The biggest issue I have with that is Peter Dinklage is a great actor.
Yes.
And there's not as many great actors, and the pool there is even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak.
But Dinklage played a dwarf in a very popular series, and the character, as it was written in the books, was a little person. And so that's my problem with him, is why does he come out and complain about a story that's 100 years older than Game of Thrones, that's already been a movie, a cartoon movie, and not give other people, other little people in Hollywood, a chance to go out and make some money and get famous and whatnot. And there have been little people and stuff our whole life. A lot of times they were exploited and made fun of. in that era is gone. But there are notable actors throughout history on television and film. So that's just my thing with Peter Dinklage. I don't, did he mean it? Was he just throwing it out there and then it got picked up? And I just don't understand what Disney.
If they had done full size people like they did with the Wonka movie, people would be pissed about that too.
Right. So you can't win. So why don't you just take care of the people that need work in Hollywood?
Right.
That's my thought about that.
The Hobbit was the one that was the biggest issue because they did use real actors, full-size people, and then through perspective made them smaller. I think what they did with Wonka was even more egregious, if you tell you the truth, because they used Deep Roy.
Now, did he play him in the Tim Burton one?
This would be the Tim Burton one, not the Wonka one,
where Hugh Grant played all the Oompa Loompas.
Uh-huh. Right, but this one was Deep Roy, and they multiplied him, so he was the only one, and then they created all of them instead of having all these actors do that. Of course, his film history goes all the way back to he was Yoda. I mean, he was in the Yoda outfit originally, so I mean, he's been around forever. I think Hollywood kind of looks at it as, especially now with CGI, they're looking at making the movie. They're going to go, I want the best actor. Now that technology can take care of what we make them look like, what difference does it make? And I see where, that can be an issue. But Peter Dinklage, weirdly enough, is the one that throws that out of whack, where he is an excellent actor and can play all these roles. So
on Nip Tuck, he played a character where you obviously knew he was a little person, but the character wasn't written that way. And do you remember that show, Nip Tuck? Do you remember?
Yeah.
That's where I think most people first saw him. And it was interesting. I thought that was one of the first times you saw a character of his stature, just being just a regular member of the cast and having a romantic relationship with one of the doctor's wives, or at least it was implied. But there are Chun Tan, Blake Johnson, people who are little people actors. Will Perry, Zita Ferry, they're all kind of not complaining about it, but they're having their voices heard. It's like, who elected Peter Dinklage king of the little people?
Well, I think too, you get a lot of, like with actors in Hollywood. I remember the story that Kevin Smith told about Ben Affleck. Why do people seem like they become assholes and when they get popular? And in Hollywood, you spend your entire career being told no.
Yeah.
Until you're told yes. And once that yes has come, then you have power. Then there's a whole lifetime of revenge for some people. I mean, Dinklage could have followed that same thing where he's finally made it to a certain echelon. Does he use his power to help promote the people that he came from that, stuck a knife in his back every time to get a role that he was going to get or something like that? So it's politics on a bunch of different levels, not just their size.
Right. Well, look. The little people who go into acting and want to be actors, they shouldn't be forced to be stereotypes or put in goofy roles. And thankfully, we don't live in that era anymore. But if they choose to and they want to, well, then I think they should be able to.
Sure, these are iconic characters in a Disney movie. It seems like it would be a good gig.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you want to be known as like Sleepy or Doc or?
Yeah. We here at Radio Labyrinth hope that Disney has a huge success with this movie that they made so they could keep the copyright on the story. I don't think she really looks like Snow White. Snow White's a little more voluptuous. She's just kind of skinny. And I've never seen anything with her, but apparently she was really good in the unnecessary remake of West Side Story that Steven Spielberg did.
Okay, that's where I've seen her before.
Yeah.
I tried watching some of that, and it seemed like a made-for-TV remake of that movie. That's what it seemed like.
I think West Side Story belongs where it came from in whatever decade that was, with the early 60s.
Yeah, go back to where you came from.
No, you know what I mean.
the era of street gangs that were, that were based on the community that you lived in at the time. And yes.
Well, I thought it needs to be remade and told from a different perspective.
Thank you, Steven Spielberg. By the way, the people are posting all over social media that all the IMAX theaters are empty, you know, because you can buy ahead and get a seat and everything. A lot of places, but I'm sure people will take their kids to see it. It's Snow White. But again, yeah. Do people even care? You can just watch the cartoon. Get it now before it's locked back in the vault.
How's that new Paddington movie doing?
I don't know. I don't have
it. It's doing great. Those movies do amazing. I mean, they're kind of this decade's family movie franchise, really.
But it's on its way down. So can Snow White knock that out?
It's a Disney movie. I'm sure it will, especially with, you know, people starting to go back into the theater. I don't think it's an IMAX level film. I think those are kind of reserved for more, you know, big franchises or spectacle type movies. This is a, you know, it's a family film. Who wants
they
to
have pay? A friend? They had a franchise planned for Snow White, but they're not going to do it now.
IMAX is, you know, $25 a ticket. And you're going to take, you know, a group of kids. No, you're going to take them to the
kids who don't give a shit about the giant screen.
You're going to download a cam shot thing from a BitTorrent site. We're going to sit and watch it on daddy's laptop. That's how we're going to watch it, because we don't have $700 to go see a movie in IMAX. Do people still do torrents?
Yeah, I hear they do. I don't do it anymore.
The guy that created Pirate Bay died.
Yeah. So that means
Pirate Bay is still out there.
There's no static website for it.
No, there. You got to Google it and then find the link.
It won't even show you where it is. You have to go to it used to be DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo.
I used Kick-Ass Torrents back in the day. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Torrents were cool. You just download and watch whatever you wanted to watch. You didn't have to have cable.
I liked it when they started making them into packets to where you could get the whole movie at once and not have to download six parts.
Yeah.
That sucked.
You wouldn't download a car.
If I could, I would. Damn right.
Was that, what's her name from The Office?
Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, I didn't want to say the Indian chick, but you know, Mindy Kaling, the Indian chick. So we'll talk about some of these roles that we grew up with and a lot of famous roles over the years of little people who weren't necessarily there to be the butt of the joke, but were actually the star or one of the main characters. We start again, you know, Peter Dinklage, Game of Thrones, and fantastic on that show. Probably one of the best characters, I think, at least a quote unquote bad guy, because he has different character turns.
And he had a great arc in the story anyway. Yeah.
Yes. And he killed his father while he was sitting on the toilet because he was banging his concubine. Warwick Davis, Willow, the Harry Potter series, the unfortunate horror franchise Leprechaun.
Yeah.
That Willow series that he did was so good. It's tragic nobody watched it.
Well, is it because nobody watched it or people didn't like it?
I don't know. There's no way you couldn't like it, because every episode was so fucking good.
Yeah, but if people liked it, they wouldn't have canceled it, right? Or was it more that...
I think just people didn't watch it. Because
they pulled it from the Disney Plus. You can't watch it anymore. It's
what's
not
the
there.
Politics? What's the politics in it that would make people mad? I never saw any of that in the news and during
when it came out. Yeah, everybody was talking about varied cast of colors and races and it was in sexes and whatnot. And granted, for a fantasy film, it fit just fine what it was there. But I think that's, you know, that stigma being thrown out there that, oh, this is just like everything else.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Except for some reason they ran with this one and Disney was like, no, let's take it away. And
you have a problem with these legacy franchises or things where the audience that initially watched them and continued to watch them, like Willow or anything that you watched over and over again, Star Wars, whatever, it doesn't matter. Our generation, at least half of the generation, is going to go, I don't want to see this because it doesn't look like the way it was when I was
like the Time Bandit show on Apple TV. That's the same thing. Nobody watched that because they're like, it's going to ruin the original.
Right.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, create new things. There are so many new shows, new and new ideas and stuff with casts, varied casts for people from all walks of life where you don't even notice. And why do you not notice? Because it's not original content or original characters. They're not rehashes of old stories or old franchises. They're just new. And that's people like new stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, if you're watching something, like you said, a reboot or a sequel, you're always, no matter what it is, you're comparing that in your mind when you're watching it to the original.
Yeah.
And if you take that factor out of it and give them something just original to start with, right. Yeah, they might see that their numbers might go up when, you know, it's something new that someone hasn't seen before.
Man, with that Time Bandit show, they paid homage to the original and they did their own thing with it. And they cast a few little people, even though the main characters were not little people like they were right. In the original movie. There was maybe five little people in the whole series, but I thought they did it really well. Mm. But everyone's like, nah, fuck this.
No, we don't like it. All right, well, some of the other ones. Billy Barty. He was in Willow, although I don't remember him in Willow.
He was the chief.
Yeah.
And he was in Masters of the Universe, mm-hmm. Which Jeff and I had the fortune of seeing in a theater in Elmira, New York. Actually, went to the Heights Theater to see that. That was a terrible movie. I don't remember anything about it. I think that's the night when Jeff and I went to the movies and some lady was crossing the street and she was just waving her hands going, come on, asshole.
Yep.
Who coincidentally was a little person.
Yep, she was a little person.
Might have been the same lady that was at the Sharper Image looking at the butt plugs, you know, the ad gifts. And I said, aren't you a little young to be looking at that? She turned around and went, fuck off. And then I was embarrassed. Billy Barty also in Night Patrol, where he played the captain, the police captain. What's the matter, Superman? Do my words make you wheezy? Kryptonite. That's a funny movie. Too bad we were never able to speak to anybody involved with it, because we always wanted to. Kenny Baker, R2-D2. He was inside of the R2, probably sweltering.
Yeah.
Vern Troyer, we all know from Austin Powers. The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. And then his horrible turn on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, where he was drunk all the time and peeing everywhere. Rest in peace.
From Fantasy Island. Boss.
And The Man with the Golden Gun, 1974 James Bond movie. If you're Gen X, you know Hervé Villechaize. And if you ever listen to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast, you can enjoy his impression of him, which we're not going to.
I mean, he was a legitimate star.
And a horn dog.
Regular hound dog.
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Didn't he date Susan Anton? You remember that tall model actress? Mm-hmm. He dated her.
Yeah.
And so did Dudley Moore. So she had a thing for short guys. She went to Dudley Moore first. That was her entry. And then she went even shorter.
I can go smaller.
I would just climb up inside of her.
Okay, sorry. Zelda Rubinstein. Is she the
going to the light, Caroline?
From Poltergeist.
Yeah, that's her.
Do you mind hanging back? You're jamming my frequencies.
She was a small, medium, and large.
Yes. Did you write that joke?
No.
Did you come up with that?
No, that's that old joke about the... I can't say the setup.
Tony Cox from... Everybody knows him from Bad Santa and Me, Myself, and Irene.
I can stick you in my ass, small fry.
Yeah? You sure it ain't too sore from last night?
You got some lip on you, Mitchell.
Good actor and very funny. But a very good actor, you know, and, you know, playing the elf in Bad Santa. Of course, he's going to play the elf, but fucking great. David Rappaport in Time Bandits and The Wizard. I don't remember The Wizard, and I've only seen Time Bandits once. Michael Dunn from the Wild Wild West TV series, and that's going back to the 60s. Jason Acuna, who is Wee Man from Jackass.
Text him right now.
Who?
Wee Man.
I don't have his phone number.
Yes, you do.
How would I have Wee Man's phone
number? You had Wee Man's phone number.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
What makes you think I had Wee Man?
You called him from Lassiter's one time.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I don't believe that. I'm going to look at my contacts and see if I have him. Did I have him in there as Wee Man?
I don't know.
Jason Acuna. No, I don't have it.
You used to.
You want to call, Ace? let's see. Jordan Prentice from In Bruges and Howard the Duck. Deep Roy, who we've already mentioned from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Eastbound and Down. I don't remember who he played in that. Did he have a recurring character in Deep?
I don't remember him in that.
Maybe he is also in the final season of The Righteous Gemstones playing Uncle Baby Billy's penis. All right. Felix Sela, we met him, didn't we? Buck Rogers in the 21st century, in the 25th century, in the Addams Family TV series as Cousin It. Was he inside of the little robot in Buck Rogers?
Yeah, he had to. Yeah. That was definitely a person in a suit.
Yeah. And they had a chimpanzee in the dog, the robot dog in Battlestar Galactica. Jack Purvis was in Time Bandits in Brazil. Phil Fondacaro was in Willow, Return of the Jedi, and Troll. I'm assuming in Return of the Jedi, he played a...
He was Ewok. An Ewok, if it was 83. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat Maloney, Buck Rogers, and Under the Rainbow. Angelo Risotto, or Rossito, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and Freak. So I guess he's the guy in Mad Max. No! No!
Who run Barter Town? Who run Barter Town? Say... loud.
Master runs Bartertown.
Yeah, and he was, yeah, that was his last, I thought that was his last role, but yeah, his first role was in Freaks, which is one of the first of those movies.
Yeah.
Like, now that's an exploitation film, 1932. Danny Woodburn, everybody knows from Seinfeld and Jingle All the Way, a good comedic actor. Josh Ryan Evans from Passions and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I don't know who that is. Debbie Lee Carrington from Total Recall in Seinfeld. You had Joe C. Everybody knows him from Osmosis Jones. Actually, he was in Kid Rock's band.
Yeah.
And then Gary Coleman from Different Strokes. And last but not least, from Fayetteville, Georgia, Emmanuel Lewis Webster, who I used to see on TikTok doing live stuff, but I haven't seen him in a while.
And we used to see him in person every now and then.
Yeah. Well, he used to come to the regular guy's show, the old radio show that I was on.
Yeah, we hung out with him at Music Midtown one year.
Did we hang out with him?
Yeah, he came to the 96 Rock backstage.
Oh, yeah. Did you talk to him?
Yeah, I hung out with him a little.
Try to pick him up?
No.
Pick him up. I don't remember much of Music Midtown usually because I was trashed, and that's a shame because I didn't remember. I remember meeting Kurt Angle in Lita. You remember meeting Kurt Angle?
No, I do remember meeting Playboy model Vanessa. What's her name?
Vanessa. She wasn't a Playboy model yet.
She became one later.
She became a Playboy model.
Yes, and then she married the CEO of Cumulus Broadcasting, and happily. After. All right, so best wishes to Disney. We hope your movie is a success. All right, let's do some news stories.
Here are some stories that we've been following at the Radio Labyrinth news desk.
Nikki Glaser is going to be back hosting the Golden Globes.
That's good. First repeat host in 11 years. She's funny.
Yeah, she did a great job.
They're finally settling down and realizing that if they want people to tune into these shows, they have to have comedians or people who are funny as the host, as the MC. She's good, and Conan is good.
Yep, so. Conan's going to be back hosting the Oscars next year, too. I thought they would not have him back right away, but they would have him back eventually. But yeah. I guess he did so well, they're going to have him back next year.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Absolutely good.
Both of which comedians who are not afraid to speak their mind. So.
Yeah.
Right. You'll never see Ricky Gervais back hosting anything like that.
No.
Yeah, he probably could if he wanted to.
He could win off public opinion, but I don't think they would have him come back again.
No.
Coyote versus Acme. You guys remember last year when that movie they spent, I don't know how many millions of dollars on.
It.
Yeah, and they shelved it for the insurance company.
Yeah, did they decide that because of this WB movie, animated movie that they just put out in theaters? Did that do it well enough to...
Well... They're not actually going to release it. What's happening is Ketchup, the company the production company, they're offering $50 million to Warner Brothers to buy the film from them and then release it themselves, which is something new. They've already got the insurance,
right,
you know, for it. So they're covered on their costs. $50 million is a small profit, but it's a profit they can make by doing it. I think it's a great idea.
What's the problem with the insurance?
They did it as a tax write-off.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that meant they're not allowed to release the movie.
Right. But it doesn't mean they can't sell it.
Right.
And normally they never would. You know, this stuff would remain on the shelf. There's been a few movies that they've done that to. The Batgirl.
The Batgirl movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody won.
But this one was, I think a lot of the actors that were in it had spent so much time with it, and it was such a great movie.
It looked really funny. Will Forte being
He's the main proponent of this. He's the one that really wanted it released because he knew how great a movie it was. And, you know, they've been trying for a year to get them to do something, and somebody came up with this idea, and it sounds like it might actually happen.
Seems like the Dexter is getting too many cooks. Because every day there's a new cast member added, and the most recent one I saw was Steven Sharippa, most noted for being on the show Blue Bloods.
He plays the model train killer.
Model train guy, yeah.
Yes. He's going to be Vinny. He's playing an Italian? Jeez. Mm. He's going to play a recurring character, Vinny, described as a greedy slumlord.
Hey, Dexter, where are you going to pay your rent?
This show is supposed to debut in the summer, and that'll give you all that Dexter porn you've been looking for. But there is a lot of people in this. And I read, like, what did I read last week, that John Lithgow is going to be in it doing the Trinity Killer?
What?
Yeah, probably voiceover, probably or voice in the head kind of thing.
What are you doing now, Dexter? As Jeff Stead once said, every time you took a speech class with him, who's next?
Ted Lasso's coming back with Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, he's coaching a female team. I ain't watching that crap. I'm not watching it if it's ladies' soccer.
They were going to greenlight it for another season even without Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but then I guess he decided to come back. If they shot it in America, which I guess they're going to do.
So it's going to be... Is it still going to be set in England, or is it going to be set back in
the... I don't know.
Imagine.
He left England at the end of the third series.
Yeah.
Did he get back together with his wife?
No, I don't think he did.
No.
No?
But, I mean, this is one of those things where the audience response for just for that show alone is enough to carry another season, whether they tank it or not. Is, you know, it may be something they're writing into the series itself, you know.
I'm sure it'll be good. People really love that show.
Did you guys see Bill Burr on The Late Show?
Mm-mm.
He got on to talk about his run on Broadway, which is getting rave reviews.
Yeah, the whole cast is amazing.
He spent the first few minutes talking about, you know, how amazing it was to work, you know, work with all these actors and everything else. And then he got on Elon and really kind of, you know, gave his honest opinion of how he feels about the guy. And a lot of people are taking umbrage and, you know, trying to cancel Burr because of talking bad about Elon, which I think is just astounding.
He's not going to get canceled, but he's polarized himself in the same way that Musk has polarized himself. Because you gotta remember, a couple years ago, maybe not even 4 years ago, people liked Elon Musk.
Yeah.
On Twitter and turned it into X. People liked him. They liked the idea of, oh, he's doing these rockets, and oh, he's got this eco-conscious car, and oh, he wants to go to Mars.
That whole Starlink thing was really popular, too, back then.
Right. He decides to buy Twitter and then he supports Trump. And when you do that, when you wade into those waters, you alienate yourself. But Bill Burr will lose a bunch of fans, and he'll gain fans. And then some of the fans he's gained will go back 10 years and watch his old specials and go, oh! But I don't want to hear any of them talking about it. Maybe even Chappelle. I don't want to hear him talking about trans issues anymore or any of these other things that he seems to keep repeating when he does his stand-up shows. He's a funny guy. Just, you know, write more jokes, I suppose. But I don't want to just sit and listen to a political rant.
I don't think he was talking about a political rant.
No, he was billionaires.
He was talking about billionaires.
Well, there's billionaires. There's billionaires. What are you going to do? Take their money away? Who are you going to give it to?
No, but the fact that you've got billionaires doing things that without being checked, you know, and destroying, you know, sections of the government on, you know, without any receipts, it's a little odd.
There's receipts. They just tell you that there aren't receipts, but there are.
You sure about that?
There are judges who say you can't do that. And when the judges say, you can't do that, you have to stop doing what you're doing. Now, you can be a dummy and go bitch about it in front of the media, like, well, this guy's a jerk, this judge is a jerk, blah, 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 which is stupid, because all that does is piss off the judges higher than that judge. I think, maybe I'm wrong, but there's billionaires. What are you going to do? What was he saying about George Soros 4 years ago, 5 years ago? Anything?
George Soros wasn't given carte blanche to go in and do things that no one else in history has ever been able to do.
Except finance mayors of every major city in the country that don't follow any of the laws. It's just the things that happen. The billionaires always do these things.
Don't worry. The universe is in balance because Jesus has a statue of a middle-class American hypocrite on his dashboard.
Always have, always will. Now that we have social media and 24-hour news and endless places where people just constantly talk, like our show, it's just always there. You didn't know about it. You didn't know about the billionaire. You learned about billionaires in the 1800s. And then you had a president named Teddy Roosevelt who came in and busted them all up. You can't do this anymore. You can't do this anymore. And then slowly over the years, they've allowed it to happen again. But Musk is no different from any of the others. They're all involved in politics. Bezos bought the Washington Post. They're just rich and they think they can do whatever they want. So either, you know what, who can do something about it but won't?
Congress. Yeah.
Because they haven't done anything since, I don't know, Reagan was president. But that, all right, enough of that. I just think to tack on a little bit more, Musk deserves to be made fun of because he's a loopy K-hole freak. And he has a lot of village, and he has a lot of children. And that's funny. But I think I'm just going to say this. I don't care if people get mad. He needs to step away from what he's doing or he's going to lose everything. He's going to lose.
Yeah, let Big Balls take over.
Or whoever that is. I don't care. You can put anybody else in there. The reason he's in there, and they'll probably keep him until the next election or the next midterms, is because he's going to fund a lot of congressional elections. But all this could be solved. All the Trump issues, all the issues you had with Joe Biden, all the issues you had with any politician could be solved if Congress would do something, and they don't make laws anymore. They just let the president do whatever the president wants, and the courts decide if that's okay or not. And that's just the way it's been. Congress doesn't do shit. I don't care what party they belong to. They don't do anything but get rich or get famous and act like idiots like that woman in Georgia. I'm not even going to say her name. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. And I'm sorry if you like her, but she's stupid.
Beyond stupid.
And then again, you have the woman in Queens. She's cute. She's really bold, but she's stupid. They're all dumb. Why did we have dumb people in Congress when we were kids? They were just a bunch of old people that we looked up and said, oh, that guy's old. By the way, I mean, you guys were totally right about Threads. Threads is cool. Threads is people talking about, hey, remember this? Or, hey, what did you think of this movie, this comedian, or people being creative on there. It's like right there in the middle in a sweet spot for me. Maybe it's just because of the algorithm. But I really like looking at Threads and sharing things on Threads. Now, if you go over here and you look at X, ugh. If you go over here and you look at Blue Sky, ugh. But right there in that sweet spot. And I think the same applies to TikTok. I think TikTok's gotten a little bit better. I see less conspiracy, less government stuff. But I don't know if they're doing it or if they're just, you know.
If you're not watching it, they're not sending it to you.
No, I watch that shit all the time, just not on their platforms. I mean, I have to pay attention to this dumb stuff. but you know, I'm not a fan. I know you probably think I'm being argumentative, but I'm not a huge fan of Musk. I didn't like him before. I just think he's a weirdo. But you know, you either make it illegal for people to be billionaires, or if they are billionaires, to get involved with politics. And the only people that can do that are the Congress.
Yeah.
So,
and he personally went to space and saved those two astronauts by himself.
I did. I flew up there. I didn't even have a rocket. I didn't even have a rocket. I just flew up there. Please don't destroy my cars. I don't like violence. And if they were a bunch of MAGA idiots blowing up Priuses, I would say the same thing. So, just, I don't like violence and destroying public property or private property. And that includes certain buildings in Washington, D.C. in January a couple years back. All right, taking a shit on Nancy Pelosi's desk was funny. But other than that... All right, sorry.
Jason Ritter's going to be in the new Lantern series, playing Garrett Dillahunt's son. I guess he's going to be a bad guy.
His son? How old is Garrett Dillahunt?
our age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think of him as younger, though. I don't know why. Who's Garrett Dillahunt playing?
I think he's the main bad guy.
But this is all the Green Lanterns or the Green Lantern Corps?
There's two Green Lanterns anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's going to be like the new guy gets his ring and he's got a, you know, training
yeah, maybe
in-house on Earth. Yeah.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Jeff, you always loved Green Lantern. Going back to when we were in school, that was your favorite superhero. Now, how many movies have been made?
Just the one with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, just the one.
There's a bunch of good animated ones.
Yes.
Yeah, the animated ones are awesome.
Yeah.
It's a cool, I don't know how many people know about the Green Lantern and the Green Lantern universe, but it's a cool franchise, or it's a cool property, and I hope that they do it justice.
Yeah. I like Jason Ritter. I'll watch him in anything.
Brian May says Queen may release new material. He says that it could happen. I hope it doesn't, but maybe they will. The two people that wrote all of Queen's songs are dead. So you'll just have to have Adam Lambert and whoever's left in Queen, Brian May and Roger Taylor. They're writing. So we'll see. It's not going to be Queen.
Uh-huh.
Are people clamoring for Queen? I don't think so.
No. I mean, they've had such a huge run in the last 10 years just off of Adam Lambert's stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I think the guy that's on, and I don't remember his name, but he's the guy on social media that got, because he sounds exactly like a Freddie Mercury.
The guy that went viral for singing Someone to Love?
Yes, at the piano. Yeah, he was, him getting together with them would be great. Adam Lambert throws way too much Adam Lambert.
Yeah,
to his Freddie Mercury for me to like it, but
that's who that'll be. I think you're right. That guy who he kind of looked like a Freddie Mercury,
yeah,
and he sounded like him. And what Journey did with Anel sounded exactly like Steve Perry. That didn't look like him, but he had fun bouncing around the stage. Did you ever see them with Anel?
Not live.
Yeah, I saw him at Lakewood once with that guy.
Amazing show. Everybody there loves Journey. Everybody's singing, and he's having a good time. Just do the. You don't need new songs. Just do the. Do you know? Keep going to the live stuff. Hey, if you're in Conyers and you're hungry, or if you're in any part of the area near Conyers, Georgia, which is right outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and you're hungry and you want some really good pizza or gyros, why not check out Atlanta Pizza and Gyro? They've proudly been serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. They're a great place to be this winter. And Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is ready for the holiday season. Now, no need to break traffic laws and smuggle it in from Texas, you bandits. Stop by AP&G and get $3.50 Coors Banquet Stubby Bottles and more. They've got the best gyros, pizzas and hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday, 11 to 9 p.m., and on Saturday from noon to 9 p.m. They are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. And if it's just like Dustin, for example, you have a good chance of winning.
Or wash my hair with their house dressing.
Or you put one of those caps on so it really soaks into your scalp.
Exactly. And then whatever drips out in the night makes like a lovely little 2 a.m. snack.
By the way, their food truck is on blocks until the end.
Oh, no.
No, for the winter. I'm sorry.
Oh, just for the winter season?
Yeah. All right. Hey, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
Some YouTube comments. We don't have any, because guess what? I forgot to post our staff picks. Shocking, right? Because, well, I did all right for 2 weeks. I'll get this week's staff picks in there for sure. But our YouTube comments this week come from Brett Perkins, who says, I've been watching The Sopranos with the wife for the first time. It is great, but Silvio looks like an Italian mob Max Headroom.
Hey, Tone. Hey, Tone. Hey, Tone. Tone.
Tone.
I don't think we have anything to gain by letting him live. JJ says, I can't believe that no one mentioned the best comedy duo of all time, Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman. The Replacements is greater than Unforgiven.
The Replacements was good.
Yeah, Replacements was pretty good.
Yeah.
No.
Especially when a time when it came out after all of those 80s football movies were done, it actually worked in like the early 90s.
Brian Chewy Go Hiking. Brian and Chewy Go Hiking says, it's sad that people stoop this low by attacking a man and his business because they disagree politically. He's talking about, who's he talking about? Elon Musk. There are more humane ways to go about it, but to destroy property is flat out wrong. Well, you got to think about the people that work at that dealership, and you got to think about the people that, anyway, that's what you got to think about. I know you hate the guy, but think about the people whose jobs you're affecting and think about the I think it's 6,000 people that assemble them in the country, or maybe even more, 60,000 people. People have jobs. Let the people have jobs. In our weekly series of polls on our YouTube page, Dustin posted, which side won the J.D. Vance meme war? And of course, memes have no winners. Only losers came in victorious at 69%.
Yeah, 69.
Hell yeah. The best Gene Hackman movie. This one was close. Coming in, there was a tie for third place, The French Connection and Superman. Okay. In second place, Unforgiven. And then the most popular at 36% was The Royal Tenenbaums. I can see why that is. People say that, but of course, everyone's wrong. Unforgiven is the best movie ever made. Text Impressions by Tim. And what voice that I can't do are you going to dump on me today?
This week it's going to be Mr. Bill Burr.
I can't do Bill Burr. It's going to be awful.
I think you can do it.
It is going to be terrible. But of course I have to do it. So there's Text Impressions with Tim will now do the worst Bill Burr impression you've ever heard in your life. You ever try to cancel plans with your wife? Oh, my God, it's like trying to deactivate a gym membership. You can't just say, hey, I don't feel like it. No, suddenly she's a lawyer building a case. Oh, so you felt like going out last weekend? Yeah, well, last weekend I still had hope, Karen. Now I just want to sit here, eat a block of cheese, and stare at the wall like a goddamn Labrador.
That's great.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad at all.
Is there another one?
Yeah, I'll send it over.
My favorite part of podcasting... he's running my mouth for an hour. The only time I don't like it is when I'm off. Then that hour feels like a day and a half. There you go.
That was a decent Bill Burr.
That was good. Yeah.
All right. We're talking about Righteous Gemstones, the final season. And by the way, next week, we do hope to have Alan Hall, who plays Aunt Tiffany. She'll be joining us. We haven't seen her yet. She wasn't.
No, we saw her a little bit on
a little bit on stage.
She was dancing.
Oh, that's right. She was on stage dancing, but no speaking. But we did see Bradley Cooper, by the way, fantastic in the first episode. Yeah. Second episode, you pick right back up where they left off last season. Walton Goggins, man, I hope that wasn't a prosthetic.
That was that 90-year-old guy they got for the first time when he came out of the hot tub.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was definitely CG'd below the waist, but it was God, that was
ridiculous. I laughed just this entire episode. It cracked me up from start to finish, and
you had the new cast member.
Yeah, Megan Mullally.
Yes, and she's kind of, I guess she's the
she's Amy Lee's best friend.
Yeah, it was kind of funny seeing him kind of on his boat in the Keys with a one night stand trying to get rid of her. And that was just nuts, especially seeing him play a drunk kind of character. Is odd too, because he doesn't do that much anymore.
Yeah, the whole episode, just from start to finish, was very, very funny. And dipping back into all your favorite characters, Kelvin and Keith are ministers at like sort of a more gay-friendly type of church, but still
the
hiding.
Prism.
BJ is doing stripper pole dancing lessons, and then when Judy walks in and says what she says, it's, yeah, I'm getting, what did she say? I'm getting drippy or something like that?
Yeah, she goes walking around with all these slits.
Yeah. So really getting back into it, and now you're starting to see more of the kids doing their roles too. So,
and the young kid, the youngest son, he looks like he's kind of taking advice from, you know, from grandpa and not from dad. And that looks like what him a lot as of this a, season.
Not your dad. Looking at him. You're looking at him as your, I could be your fucking mentor. Did y'all watch him on this past weekend? Danny McBride?
No.
Yeah. I watched it.
That was funny. He kept comparing Tony Cavallaro to Theo.
You guys look a little bit alike. You guys are alike. Yeah. You guys are alike.
I enjoyed it. He gave him that, that laser pointer that is like a dick.
Yeah.
Dick and ball.
Put dick and balls all over everything. And the rocket. Oh my God, the jetpacks. Funny episode. If you're not watching it, watch it. Give it a shot.
His views.
Or.
And snooze.
Last week was John Mulaney, Everybody's Live, which was good. It's still a train wreck of a show, but it's fun to watch. Wheel of Time, which I watched the first three of those, very good. And Bill Burr's Hulu special, which I enjoyed.
I'm going to watch that this
week. It started off a little slow, like I said, but the second half was hilarious. All right, this week, Good American Family. This is that series based on the Natalia Grace story. Got Mark Duplass playing the dad.
What was the crux of this? Is this the one where they adopted someone and she was supposed to be an older
little
person?
Girl and they thought she was like a 9-year-old girl, but she was really a little person.
Wow, yeah.
I don't think it looks good.
But this was a full-grown adult that they thought was a child.
Yeah. Happy Face starts this week. This is that Dennis Quaid playing that real-life serial killer guy.
I've heard this is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this.
That's on Paramount Plus. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
And David Blaine's new series on National Geographic, and it's going to be on Disney and Hulu. It's the next day. It's called Do Not Attempt. He's doing all kinds of crazy shit, like kissing snakes and stuff.
I never really got into him, but you've liked him as long as I've known.
Yeah.
I've always liked the stuff he's done, especially all that street magic stuff he did. Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
I got corrupted by South Park. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's Views or Snooze. Thank you, Jeff. Let's see. Time to do some plugs. Well, Trambles is back, and if you listen to it this weekend and you are confused, so am I. I just turned the microphone on and did a bunch of voices talking about gardening, and I had fun. Just did different people with their tips. And then an AI song I made about photosynthesis was actually part of a song I made for Harlan Williams because he wants people to make songs for his theme songs for his podcast. I do a radio show on WSB in Atlanta. You can get that on the WSB app. Also, it is available on your favorite podcatcher. It's called the Tim Andrews Podcast. And my guest last week on the radio show was Mary Lynn Reisgub. And she, the full uncut interview is available on the podcast. I had so much fun talking to her. I hope you liked it or do like it. And then Chef Jay, who is on Spring Baking Championship, which is on right now on the Food Network. This week, Greg Russ and I are going to talk about Eric Bogosian because he is working with him on Broadway.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Greg does sound design.
Oh, that's cool.
And
I met him once.
I met him, too. I met him in New York one time.
Yeah, I did, too, in New York. I got him to sign some books for me.
Oh, that's cool. All right. We have updated and changed our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews to find out all about that. Please do not sign up or pay using the app on the iPhone. If you use it on the iPhone, they take 30% off the top, which is ripping us off and you. You're donating to us. You're getting ripped off. We have a bunch of new tiers and new levels. This week, we'll do an even more deeper dive in what they are next week. But this week, we are doing another Radios in the Dark Live. This one will be streaming directly on YouTube. So if you want to join. Well, too late now. Pre-recorded, but
you can go back and look at it. Yeah,
you can go back and look at it. It'll be there. But moving forward, they will be for Patreon members only. We want people to join in and see what it's all about. And maybe we'll do a couple more weeks where it's not for just Patreon members. But we want people to join in and have fun and talk to us. And that's what it's all about. Radios in the Dark. Most important, you remember to like and subscribe. and share this with your friends and the people that you like. Oh, and I want to thank our executive Patreon producers who pay at the $25 level. That would be John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and Chelsea Smith. Thank you guys very much. We'll talk to you next week. Please remember to keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.